The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hey, you there. You can't ignore me.
No one can ignore me.
I'm Todd the Announcer, and Eric lets me do his announcing. I'm always right there by his side to loudly announce everything he does.
Even things like coughing and sneezing.
His wife hates it.
And now, Eric Metaxas.
Thanks, Todd. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the show about everything, which means basically I get to talk about interesting subjects with interesting people. Unfortunately, today's an exception. I'm just sitting here with my friend Greg Laurie. It's the best I could do on short notice. Greg, welcome. Come on. What kind of an introduction is that?
Wow.
That's the most recent introduction you've ever received.
I'm so depressed right now. I came in with such buoyant optimism. No.
My goal is to quench the spirit. Now, listen, this woman here, does your wife know you're traveling with her?
Yes, she does, because it is my wife, Kathy Laurie.
Oh, come on.
And guess what?
This little young thing is your wife? I don't believe it. Since you're from Southern California, what number wife is this?
She is... Well, let me say this.
What is it, 3, 4, 5? Be honest. I'm a Christian.
Married,
you can share
with
me.
Here's the weird thing. I've been married to 6 girls, all interestingly, with the same name of Kathy.
Really?
Yeah, because she's not the same Kathy I married, but every Kathy gets better than the old one, you see.
Oh, he has to say that because she's sitting
right
here.
Valentine's Day is tomorrow.
Kathy, let me tell you something. You guys got married quite young.
Yes.
You were just kids.
Yes.
But you seem very young. I'm not just blowing smoke. I am blowing smoke, but I'm not just blowing smoke. No, honestly, you do both have this youthfulness about you. I think part of it is your personality. Part of it is a Southern California vibe. But it is true.
Yeah.
You seem young. And
well, I just had a double espresso, so that might help a little.
All right.
Thank you, though. That's a very nice thing to say.
I think this interview is over. So, Kathy, we didn't give you a microphone because we just have the one microphone. Now, there are cameras in the studio now, so this is all being filmed.
Yeah.
So don't do anything untoward.
All right.
Who's watching?
No public displays of affection. Who's watching is we have something called Metaxas Super. It's the premium version of the show. And you, open up a bottle of fine wine and you listen to the premium version and you can watch it on video. So people can see... people can hear you clipping that pen because it's radio and we have microphones.
Sorry about that.
But seriously, we do most of these now where people can watch.
Yeah.
And so I can do things like I can say, hey, folks, have you seen this DVD? I can hold it up to the camera and people can see it. And if you don't have Metaxas Super, you can't see it. But, we've got two things to talk about at least, Greg, because we get crazy. You are... a pastor and an evangelist. You're in Orange County, California. I've spoken at your church. We've become friends, which is why I'm so rude to you publicly.
Yes.
But you've done something really particularly amazing. You wrote a book and you made this film on the life of Steve McQueen and how at the end of his life he became a 100% sold out, born again believer in Jesus.
Yes, he did.
That is news. When you told me that, I flipped. I said, I've never heard a hint of this.
I know. Most haven't. That's true. And so, I wasn't even sure if it was true myself. I almost approached the whole story like a reporter. I thought, I've heard this rumor. Is it true? So I started with a Google search, literally, Steve McQueen, conversion to Christianity. One name kept bubbling up, and it was Leonard DeWitt, who was Steve McQueen's pastor. And I thought, I wonder if this guy's even alive still. So I tracked him down, and he was alive and well, very lucid. And in fact, we had met before, I just didn't remember, but Leonard filled in a lot of details about Steve's conversion. And that became kind of the entree into this life that's almost been hidden, this life of the converted Steve McQueen, the church-going Steve McQueen, the guy who would sit in the balcony every Sunday at Veteran Missionary Church in Santa Paula with his family and anyone he could drag to church with him, the guy who wanted to be an usher in the church, but he didn't want to draw unnecessary attention to himself. A whole life that people...
If you're Steve McQueen, that's a problem. What do you do, wear a Nixon mask or something?
I don't think he ever did, but... He had a real conversion. He was a real Christian, and he would not only did he come to Christ, but Pastor DeWitt told me they'd meet every week for an hour of intensive Bible study. So Pastor DeWitt was discipling Steve, and I think if Steve had stayed healthy, everyone would have known about his conversion. But on the heels of his conversion, about 6 months after he found out he had cancer, his mesothelioma. And it was really on a fast track. In fact, they told him, you don't have a long to live. And so the last months of his life were very difficult, but he fought it with great faith and courage. But we were able, Eric, even to uncover audio recordings of Steve talking about his faith. So I kind of build this case in this film. It's a very well done documentary.
Do you have him talking? Do you have those recordings in the documentary?
Yes, right there in the DVD.
Okay.
And by the way, that DVD you have, first it came out as a film, as a one-day Fathom event. It was so well-received, they did two encore presentations. And so now it is out in DVD. Excuse me, now it is streaming on iTunes. You can go to iTunes, put in Steve McQueen, American Icon. You can download it. It's streaming at Amazon, and it will be released nationwide on DVD. Every Walmart store is going to carry it. It's being distributed by Universal, and it will also be at Amazon.com and other outlets. So,
and it's the coolest cover ever.
Yeah, it is.
I want... When somebody writes a story of my life, I would like this cover, except take out Steve McQueen, put in Eric Metaxas.
We got to get you
that
in that.
Okay?
You always get that same suit.
I want to wear an Evel Knievel jumpsuit, and I want to be – it's so great. This is truly beautiful. Anyway, congratulations. We've talked about this on the program before, so I don't want to talk more about it now because you're doing other stuff. You're writing a book now. About what?
Martin Luther. It's called The Real Story. And I'm kind of a little bit of a criticism. No,
you're debunking my book?
No, your book is very good, by the way. We've been listening to it on audio and very, very great job on that. Seriously.
I hired an actor who has a voice that he could do my voice.
He sounded a lot like you.
He sounds a lot like me.
Yeah, it was good. But
you know what? Coincidentally, I sound a lot like him, so it's confusing.
That's true.
Yeah. Okay, so I do read the Luther book and my If You Can Keep It book in my voice on the audio.
Yeah.
And I think it's cool. So I hope to do that in the future with all the books that I write. But you're writing a book right now, in all seriousness, about
the Jesus Revolution. Years ago, Time Magazine in the late 60s ran a cover story with a question, a black cover, letters reversed out in red type, is God dead? And about 2 years later, they had a cover, Jesus Revolution. So it was a question and it was an answer. Things were so bad in the late 60s. Things were so out of control and unhinged that many were wondering what is going on. And the church may have been at one of its most ineffective places historically during the late 60s, kind of missing the whole cultural connection to what was going on around them. But then God just intervened supernaturally. It was a genuine revival. You've written about revival in your book, If You Can Keep It. You wrote a lot about it.
Oh, man.
And, so it was the last great American revival known as the Jesus Movement or the Jesus Revolution. So since that's when I came to faith, I became a Christian in 1970, and I walked into the literal epicenter of the movement in Southern California.
There's no literal epicenter, but I know what you mean.
Okay, well, you know.
I gotcha, big shot. Okay, go ahead.
I'm done.
See? No, when people say like...
I dropped the mic, but
literally,
it's...
In my head, literally blew up.
Yeah.
No, you can say it. You just can't misuse it. I know what you mean, but you actually...
You're such a wordsmith.
I'm such a jerk that I'm blowing this. You're telling something really important because what you're saying, and I know this is true of both of you, you were there in the middle of it, in the epicenter, while it happened right there. People read about it, but the two of you were there. Didn't you get baptized like in...
Kathy did.
Right? Where?
We both got baptized at Big Corona Beach in Newport Beach, California, in a little natural amphitheater of rock called Pirate's Cove.
Did you have communion on a surfboard?
No, we did
no?
not.
No? Well, then it was not authentic.
No, but it was an amazing thing. It almost reminds you of a biblical site a little bit when you stand there. It's just the greatest place to be baptized. It's very memorable. But, you know, I knew nothing of Christianity. I wasn't raised in the church. You know, I've told you before, my mother was married and divorced 7 times. She was a raging alcoholic. I lived in a very secular world. And so when I came to faith in Christ, because of the very outspoken witness of the Jesus people, or Jesus freaks, as we called them, it was a pretty dramatic change.
Actually, you know what? We're going to a hard break.
Okay.
I want to hear about the dramatic change when we come back. Folks, stick around. I'm talking to Greg Laurie.
Oh, I love Mr. Blue Sky. Come on.
Sun is shining in the sky. There ain't a cloud in sight.
Hi, I'm Victoria Hurst. My family's company, the Hearst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
For young people who want to make the most of their summer, there's the Summer Academy at the King's College in New York City. At Summer Academy, inquisitive high schoolers learn how the great ideas of Western civilization apply to journalism, business, economics, and leadership, all from a biblical worldview. Plus, they'll enjoy world-famous landmarks and museums. One student called it the learning experience of a lifetime. To learn more, Google the King's College Summer Academy. That's the King's College Summer Academy.
Learn, love, lead. That's the heart of the student experience at Bob Jones University. Discover a university that's both academically challenging and spiritually encouraging. Learn from highly credentialed faculty who share your faith and approach everything from a biblical worldview. Be challenged to love God and others by getting outside your comfort zone and giving of yourself. Grow as a leader through opportunities on and off campus. Learn more online at bju.edu or call 800-252-6363. That's bju.edu or 800-252-6363.
Network with thousands of Christian media professionals, ministry representatives, pastors, and business leaders at Proclaim 18, the NRB International Christian Media Convention, February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Hear speakers including Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Luis Palau, Joel Rosenberg, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and dozens more. Gain valuable insights by attending one or more of the convention's 6 industry session tracks, where industry leaders will speak on digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Experience NRB's massive exposition, featuring tools and services to expand and enhance your organization, church, or ministry. From media and fundraising experts to publishers and tech companies, the exposition has what you're looking for. Also on the expo floor will be an exhibit from Museum of the Bible. Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. For all the details, visit nrbconvention.org.
For so long, I'd had that little hidden sin. It was a secret, no one knew. So I'd convince myself it really wasn't hurting anyone, but what if my wife or kids found out? Harmless? It would have ruined me. The problem was, who could I talk to? I needed someone I could confide in, but this was so personal. Who could I trust?
He found someone to trust, and so can you. We're Faithful Counseling, the world's largest platform for faith-based professional counseling. All of our licensed and experienced counselors are qualified and certified by the state board, and many are trained in addiction counseling. But more importantly, we share your Christian values. Available 24/7 by text, messaging, phone, and video conferencing, all from the comfort of your own home. Try it for the first week free by going to faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word TRUST. That's faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word TRUST to get your first week free. Faithful Counseling, we're here when you need us.
Every night I
different town, sing my song. Play and sing, pack my things, and move along. A pretty face, another face, I never get to know. One night stand, another show.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm sitting here with my friend Greg Laurie, Pastor Greg Laurie of Southern California, IA, and his current wife, what are you, number four, honey? Kathy, how many years have you two been married?
We have been married for 43 years, my only wife. However, all my exes live in Texas.
Oh, come on. You guys have been married 43 years?
We have.
I think it's 44.
No.
They're going to have their first fight.
Wow, I feel older already. 44 years, says Kathy Laurie.
She's here to correct you. I'm here to correct you on literal epicenter, and she's here to correct you on how many years you've been married. Greg, the Lord brought you here to humble you, my brother.
Yes.
Because you needed it. He obviously has great things planned, because the humbling always comes right before that. That's okay, so let's – oh, my gosh. Can we do this
Are
over?
You always this way?
No.
Yeah.
Okay. No, it is you.
Okay, you.
You bring this out of me. That is a compliment. So,
it's not often I'm the one being mocked. I'm usually the mocker, not the mockee.
I know.
So it's a new role for me, but I enjoy it because you're a good mocker. If you're going to be mocked, be mocked by the best, and I feel that way right now.
That is so kind.
I laugh, and I get embarrassed, and
That's
I don't
right.
even know why.
Okay, but I don't sit in the seat of the mocker. Scripturally,
no,
you're not supposed to do that, but I do mock. Okay, talking about your conversion in 1970, and your whole life. You come from a rough background, your mother literally was married seven times.
Literally.
You said raging alcoholic.
Yes.
That's an unbelievable story to come out of and into the Jesus movement in 1970.
Yeah, you know, just coming back to the McQueen story, one of the things that amazed me about him as I began to study his life and put this film together is we almost had an identical childhood. Steve never knew his biological father. Steve's mother was a raging alcoholic who was married and divorced to some abusive men. Steve was sent to a reform school called the Chino Boys Home, and I was sent to the Southern California Military Academy. So as I kind of discovered what it was like for him to grow up, I sort of understood him a little bit, and I thought it enabled me to tell a story maybe in a different way. But coming back to my story, so I come to Christ. It's all new to me, and I didn't realize it, but I'd walked into a bona fide living revival. And I didn't know that till later. And I look back and went, oh, wow, that wasn't normal Christianity. And by normal, in a way, it was normal because it's New Testament normal. But sadly, today, what we see offered as Christianity is many times a watered down version. So I was kind of, you know, living in this great, energized, excitement of people coming to Christ and hearing the word of God for the first time. And so I thought, you know, it's hard to capture lightning in a bottle. I mean, how do you tell the story? So that's why I enlisted the help of Ellen Vaughn. Do you know Ellen?
I know Ellen Vaughn. I know that she worked with Chuck Colson on some of his
books.
Right. She's fantastic.
Very good writer.
Of course. Great writer.
So she wrote the book. So it's not in my voice. It's about me and it's about Kathy. And so, you know, and she did some background research. And so we kind of put it in historical context of what was going on in the 60s and early 70s. But I wrote it not so much as wasn't this an amazing thing, but I wrote it almost to a millennial, like saying, here's what happened. Could it happen again? Here's some parallels between then and now. And here's what maybe we can learn from that time. And by the way, it's also going to be made into a film next year by John Irwin, who directed Steve McQueen, American Icon, and also the soon-to-be-released I Can Only Imagine, which is an awesome film. And I just wanted to say that. I have no connection to the film apart from I just think it's great and people ought to see it.
Well, okay, so Steve Irwin. John Irwin, I met very recently.
Yeah.
But so he directed this film.
Yes, he did.
The Steve McQueen film. And he's directing the film based on the new book. What's the name of the new book?
My new book?
Yeah.
Jesus Revolution.
I hope the cover is like psychedelic.
Yeah. You know, it's funny. I was at a bookstore here in New York, and I saw a super cool book in a kind of an arty bookstore that would like to kind of vibrant psychedelic colors. And I thought, maybe we'll just put the type in that book because I have a graphic background design. So
I know.
I'm always looking at design, and I had some other designs I was working on in this really colorful backdrop. I thought that might be the back of the book. It might be the front of the book.
Cool. Well, so Jesus Revolution is coming out in June.
Yes, it is.
And who's publishing that?
That is Baker.
Never heard of him.
Yeah.
Just kidding. Of course I've heard of Baker. So it's called Jesus Revolution. Yeah. You can't do better than that title. That's terrific.
Well, that's what Time Magazine called it. You know, it's funny. During the day, we didn't call it Jesus Revolution. We didn't even refer to it as Jesus Movement. We were just Christians and who had came to Christ, and we were growing in our faith. But others called us Jesus people.
Right.
And then later, it was called the Jesus Movement. But I wasn't walking around saying, hey, we're in the Jesus Movement. That was what it came to be known as historically after the matter.
It's kind of like people who went to Woodstock didn't say, hey, we're the Woodstock generation.
That's right.
Or we're the Pepsi generation.
Yeah, that's right.
Right?
Probably not.
So, but I think it's important. My friend Greg Thornberry with the King's College has reminded me, in a sense, that is the last major revival we've seen in America.
Yes,
it is. We talk about the Great Awakening, the Second Great Awakening.
Yeah.
This was a major revival that swept across America, and it happened, you know, I really feel like I came to faith in 1988, which was in a way the tippy tail end, because it was out of people who had come to faith during this thing.
That's right.
And a lot of worship songs, a lot of stuff came out of that, and it was epical. It was absolutely epical. And so the
never
idea,
heard that word epical.
E-P-O-C-H.
I know epic. Interesting.
No, but epic.
Well, I know it's a real word because you're
not
using
E-P-I-C,
it.
Not E-P-I-C.
Oh, it's different.
E-P-O-C-H, like an epic, like a period, you know, right? Listen, by the time you're out of here, you're going to be fluent in the English language. I promise you. That's my promise to you. Ha! Okay, come on, seriously. But the point is, I was just trying to praise you in the sense that it's stunning nobody has written a book on this. You, Greg Laurie, have decided that somebody needs to tell this story. It's a huge story.
There is a good book out on it called God's Forever Family. The name of the author escapes me at the moment. It's more a little more academic. It's a little, you know, it's thick. It's like one of your books, really.
But he managed to get me back.
No, it's a compliment. This is a personal story. There are some historical elements in there because Ellen wrote it about me and my wife, Kathy, and others that were impacted. But this is a personal story, and when we make it into a film, it's going to be a bit of a love story as well. But just showing how God changed a generation and in hopes that it will happen again. Because, you know, as we look at our culture now, I don't know that we've ever been more divided racially. I think we have more racial division today than we had 10 years ago. I don't know when we've ever been more divided politically. There's always been a big chasm between, you know, conservatives and liberals and such. But right now, it's almost been weaponized. I mean, it's at a new level. And then just the drug epidemic. I mean, in many ways, the seeds of that were sown in the 60s. And now we're seeing the full-blown effects of
it. That's
all
right.
Negative. So in many ways, what we're seeing today is connected to what started in the 60s, and most of it not in a good way. And we need something else from the 60s. We need another one of those Jesus movements. So my prayer is just, you know, God's the one who sends revival. We don't bring revival, but we can pray for revival, and we should pray for it. And I think I once asked Chuck Smith, who was the pastor of Calvary Chapel, which was right there in the epicenter of the whole thing. And I said, Chuck, do you ever think we'll see another Jesus movement? And he said, I don't know if we're desperate enough. And I thought that's, you know, maybe that's what we need. We just need to be more desperate. Will we really start storming the gates of heaven and praying, God, help us? Well, this cannot be solved politically. This cannot be solved with just moral efforts. This has to be a change of the hearts of people, and only God can do that through his Holy Spirit.
Well, I was going to say, that certainly sounds right to me. And you were saying about the division in our country. It is dramatic, and it's very difficult for me, I have to say, because there was a time when even though you had political differences, it wasn't the biggest thing. But now it's something that's right in the middle of the room constantly. That if you if I say something not viciously critical of Trump. People think like, well, I don't even want to talk to you unless you hate him the way I hate him. I don't even want to talk to you. And I think that's bizarre.
Yeah.
But we're living in a very divided country right now. And I have said, I think I've written about this, that it reminds me of, in Germany, when the Nazis came to power. Yeah. If you didn't say Heil Hitler loudly enough, people looked at you like, what's wrong with you? Now, this is, whenever you make comparison like that, people immediately shut down. But the point is that there's an orthodoxy that if you do not jump high enough, you're out.
That's right.
And that's really unhealthy. And it's particularly unhealthy for a free society. You can't have a free society with that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. So I want to talk more about that and everything else with my friend Greg Laurie in the studio. We'll be right back.
You know, I'm not a genius about money. I love my credit cards, and they love me. I was using them as a source of income, and then I got behind in my payments, and creditors were calling. I figured I had a problem, and I didn't know how to deal with it. I heard about Trinity, so I called and talked to a counselor. In half an hour, we worked out a plan. Now I've got one easy monthly payment, a lower interest rate, and I'm getting out of debt.
If you're in an endless cycle of paying on credit card balances that never seem to go away, then get ready for a toll-free number that will put you on a path to financial recovery. Trinity will consolidate your accounts, put a stop to late fees and over-limit charges, reduce your interest, and possibly improve your credit score. You'll save thousands. If your debt has you down, we should talk. Call 1-800-990-6976. That's 1-800-990-6976. Call 1-800-990-6976.
It was Jesus who first called his followers a city upon a hill, a light for all to see. Since then, John Winthrop, Abraham Lincoln, JFK, and Ronald Reagan have echoed those words for those who call America home. Join author and SRN radio host Eric Metaxas as he lifts up this message and headlines the 2018 Remember America Speaker Series, Friday, April 6th in Lancaster, PA. This special event, sponsored by Dayspring Christian Academy, reminds Americans of their unique heritage of liberty that is founded on biblical principles. Remember America brings to life the important ideas Eric captures in his book, If You Can Keep It. The Remember America Speaker Series with Eric Metaxas is Friday, April 6th at 6:30 p.m. at the Lancaster County Convention Center. Tickets and sponsorships are available by calling 717-344-5584 or go to dayspringchristian.com. dayspringchristian.com.
Hey there, folks. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I am sitting here with Greg Laurie and his current wife, wife number one, Kathy Laurie. They've been married 44 years, according to Kathy, and she seems to be the timekeeper in this relationship. Yes. 44 years and counting. Well, look, Greg, we were just talking about the Jesus Revolution that happened in the 60s and 70s, and it was an earthquake. I mean, it was another universe, and, people say that it was in those days, the pejorative term would be they're the Jesus freaks, right? Mm-hmm. Because young people were just like, some people were drugged out and other people were drugged up on Jesus, that Jesus was their drug. So they became known as Jesus freaks. So it's a pejorative that I have adopted as a positive. I love the idea of being thought of as a Jesus freak. I'm flying my freak flag right now by having you on the program. And, I want to say that your book, I just looked it up online, Jesus Revolution by Greg Laurie, you can pre-order it. So people can, if they want, whenever this program is on, they actually can pre-order Jesus Revolution by Greg Laurie. Just wanted to say that, yeah. And a shout out to Ellen Vaughn. So we were just talking about this period of time, right. And what do you remember? Because you were there, as you said, in the middle of this. You experienced this. You were baptized in the Pacific Ocean. Kathy was as well. Kathy, you were, 13 or something like that? Mm-hmm. Unbelievable. Okay, so
she was older when I married her.
Uh-huh.
18.
That's good. I'm so glad to hear that.
Yes.
I'm all for young marriage. I really am.
Yes.
18 is pretty young.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm all for that.
I was only 21 myself. She just aged much better than I did.
Well, the good news is that you've been married 44 years and you still get to look young because you got married at 18. That's a good thing.
Yes.
Most people who've been married 44 years, you know, they're in the home. I just wanted to sound like Don Rickles. Don Rickles would say that. We're going to send you to the home. Okay. So when you were in the middle of all of that, you didn't know it would be called the Jesus Movement or anything. But tell us, what was different about that time that you don't see right now?
Well, it's a great question. John Irwin, the guy who's going to direct the film about the Jesus Revolution and did this McQueen film with me, he's in his 30s and he's a very talented filmmaker. And a friend introduced him to me saying, this is a guy that wants to do a movie about the Jesus Movement and he wants to talk to someone who was there. That's how we met. So here's a guy in his 30s who saw that Time magazine cover, read the story with great interest, and he's saying, what was it like? So as I began to tell him about it, it sort of, well, reminded me of how great it was, but that's
what he didn't say, what was it like, Gramps?
No.
No.
But he thought
it. He was respectful.
But he thought it.
Right.
I'm old enough to be his dad for sure. What it was like is it was alive. It wasn't fake. It was unique because a lot of things were starting for the first time. For instance, contemporary praise and worship that we take for granted today, it's everywhere. People love these fresh, new, energetic worship songs. It effectively started during the Jesus Movement.
We forget that there was only hymns up to that point.
Primarily, and maybe what we might call sort of camp songs, kind of folk music, variations on folk music, songs like We Are One in the Spirit, and very basic songs, but a whole new form of worship songs came out. And then, of course, contemporary Christian music. You just played a song by DC Talk called Jesus Freak. And so, you know, that whole form of music was starting then as well. Bands were just forming left and right. It was like it was something that was being spontaneously, I think, orchestrated by the Lord. And so when you walked into a service, I was thinking about what were the earmarks of those days? And five things come to mind. Number one, when you went to a service, there was a sense of expectation. You can't create that. People walk in, you just felt like God's here, God's going to do something.
It was
tonight.
Exciting.
Yeah, that's right. Number two, there was heartfelt, passionate worship taking place. The seats were filled, the aisles were filled, people were actually up on the platform sitting around the feet of the speaker. So there was a desire to worship God. No one had to prompt people to worship. They did it spontaneously. Number three, it was rooted, at least where I was a part of it, in the Word of God. You know, one of the great things about Chuck Smith was he taught the Bible. So that's where I first heard the Bible. So we looked forward to a Bible study. We wanted to hear a Bible study. Sometimes they were 45, 50-minute Bible studies, and that was a major part of what was happening. Another feature is in almost every service, people came to Christ. An invitation would be given, regardless of what the text was or the theme was, and people would come to Christ, and lots of people would come to Christ. And so, and then the last thing is there was a sense we all just were thinking Christ could come back at any time. Now, were we a little off? Well, I guess so, because he hasn't come back yet, but you know, one day with God is as 1,000 years, 1,000 years is one day. I think anything that prompts us to want to be ready for the Lord's return is excellent. And we had a lot of that back then. We were believing Jesus could come back.
It's so funny because I remember that a little bit. Mm-hmm. Anytime you're living before the year 2000, you're thinking, that's the number. It's happening. Yeah. That number is there for him to return. And looking at my watch, I realized that never happened.
Yeah.
But I still have my Slim Jims and my water purifying tablets.
Yeah.
And the guns for the zombies and stuff. Okay. We're going to be right back talking to Greg Laurie. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. Stick around.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago. Well, he healed the sick.
Hey, Alvin.
Hey, Eric.
How are you?
Okay,
hey, listen,
good.
I want to tell you about Relief
Please
Factor.
Do.
We get these testimonials in at relieffactor.com. Jenny from Texas writes, I've been taking Relief Factor for 4 weeks. I was hit by a car. It almost sounds like because she was taking Relief Factor. No, that's not true. She was hit by a car while walking almost a year ago. And she got to the place, it's amazing, where nothing she tried for pain relief was working. My husband had heard of your product, she says. We decided to give it a try. This past week, I've started noticing a decrease in the pain in my lower back and an increased range of motion. Hooray.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure Relief Factor had something to do with it. I'm grateful Relief Factor has helped when everything else I tried quit working. Beautiful addition to my natural therapies. Folks, you hear this over and over again. People have accidents. People have all these different things. Your life changes. Try Relief Factor. It works for me. I have aches and pains from running and stuff. ReliefFactor.com is the website. Quick Start Pack, $19.95. You'll know whether it works for you. If it works for you, it could change your life. I would check it out. I do check it out. ReliefFactor.com, ReliefFactor.com.
You like freedom? I do. You like money? Well, I do too. If you like freedom and money, then you're going to love Freedom Checks. You see, over the next few months, an estimated $34.6 billion is up for grabs to anyone who stakes their claim. Yep, you heard that right, $34.6 billion. To get all the details, just go to www.claimfreedomchecks.com. Thousands of people are already lined up to cash in. Take Doug, for example. He's a 46-year-old from Joplin, Missouri, who's set to get a check for $24,075. And if Doug can do this, I've got a hunch that you can too. But here's the thing. If you want the chance to grab your full fair share of this $34.6 billion payout, you must have your ducks in a row by March 1st. So don't wait. Get over to www.claimfreedomchecks.com before the March 1st deadline. That's www.claimfreedomchecks.com.
Network with thousands of Christian media professionals, ministry representatives, pastors, and business leaders at Proclaim 18, the NRB International Christian Media Convention, February 27th through March 2nd in Nashville, Tennessee. Hear speakers including Kay Arthur, Rick Warren, Eric Metaxas, Luis Palau, Joel Rosenberg, Jim Caviezel, MyPillow founder Mike Lindell, and dozens more. Gain valuable insights by attending one or more of the convention's six industry session tracks, where industry leaders will speak on digital media, radio, TV, church media, film and entertainment, and international ministry. Experience NRB's massive exposition, featuring tools and services to expand and enhance your organization, church, or ministry. From media and fundraising experts to publishers and tech companies, the exposition has what you're looking for. Also on the expo floor will be an exhibit from Museum of the Bible. Proclaim 18, February 27th through March 2nd. For all the details, visit nrbconvention.org.
I'm just so upset. I'm having so much trouble getting to sleep. Only to wake up in the middle of the night worrying all over again. I'm wearing down. There's no one I trust, no one I can open up to. But I've got to find someone I can talk to. I can't keep going on like this.
She found help, and so can you. We are Faithful Counseling, the world's largest platform for faith-based professional counseling. Our Christian counselors are all licensed, trained, and experienced, qualified and certified by the state board, but more importantly, we share your Christian values. Available 24/7 by text, messaging, phone, and video conferencing from the comfort of your own home. We'd like to invite you to try your first week free by going to faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP. That's faithfulcounseling.com and use the invite code word HELP to get your first week free. Faithful Counseling, we're here when you need us.
They tried to make me go to rehab. I said no, no, no. Yes, I've been black, but when I come back, no.
Hey there. It's the Eric Metaxas Show. I'm talking to Greg Laurie. Greg, you're one of my favorite people, which is why I tease you mercilessly. But that's true. That's my love language. That's the sixth love language that they didn't put in the book because there are very few of us. There's me. There's Don Rickles, and that's about it.
Yeah.
That we abuse people in public, and that's the way we say, I love you.
That's how I show affection to my wife. We'll say to people, if Greg really likes you, he'll mock you.
Right. See?
Thank
okay.
you.
So who else can we mock? Okay, now listen. we're talking about the climate in the 70s, the Jesus movement. A big part of that, culturally speaking, was the music, Larry Norman, and of course Billy Graham, somebody that you worked with. You worked with Billy Graham. But wasn't he a big part of it? The fact that he was a cultural hero that people thought it's Billy Graham and he was on TV and you know, that was kind of cool.
Yeah, you know, we don't really have anyone like this right now, Eric, but you know, in the day Billy Graham was really the face of evangelical Christianity. And he'd show up in all kinds of interesting places, from his crusades on television to the Tonight Show with Johnny Carson to Dick Cavett's show.
He was on with John, I've watched it. I've actually mentioned this to Woody Allen, who I met, who you and I were in the room last time we were together with Woody Allen playing clarinet. But Woody Allen interviewed him on a 1970 ABC special.
Yes.
And it's one of the freakiest things I've ever seen.
It's really
interesting. Woody Allen interviewing.
Google it.
Oh, I've watched it 100 times. I asked Woody Allen about it.
Well, what did he say?
A frog came out of his mouth. No, that's not true. It was some other demonic manifestation, which escapes me right now. But in all seriousness, he said he was very polite. He said, we don't exactly agree on most things. And, you know, he was polite, but you could tell that he was shocked that somebody brought it up, that I reminded him of this. He looked at me like, who's this guy? But the fact of the matter is it's a really sweet moment in culture. And my hat goes off to Woody Allen for always dealing with the big questions, even though he would do it in an uncomfortable way.
Yeah.
He really was. A lot of his films, he asks these questions about
like
death.
They're like meaning of life films. He's always
it's like Ingmar Bergman.
Yeah,
with jokes.
Yeah,
except for the ones he made that have no jokes.
Yeah,
like Interiors. But I got to tell you, Woody Allen had Billy Graham on his program, and they kind of joked around and asked some questions. But it's amazing. You can Google it. Just Google Woody Allen, Billy Graham.
That's right. And you know, coming back to that time, so Billy was. He was pretty much respected by everyone. He was a chaplain to presidents. He was, you know, on television all the time. And so when the Jesus movement started, some dismissed it. Like, this is some kind of a weird cult, these kids with long hair, these hippies.
Because it didn't look like church stuff.
It didn't look like church stuff. And they've got this weird music. This isn't right. But Billy saw early on this was a move of God. He embraced it. In fact, he wrote a book about it called Jesus, not Revolution, but Jesus Generation. He embraced it. He endorsed it. And that was a big moment. In fact, probably the biggest event of that era was called Expo 72 in Texas, put on by Campus Crusade for Christ as the Jesus movement was still in bloom. And Billy spoke at it. And in fact, he played a bumper from him. Johnny Cash sang at it.
Really?
Along with Kris Kristofferson, of all people. And Larry Norman and other bands of that era. So when Billy endorsed it, that really helped it a great deal. So I think that our parents and our grandparents knew it's okay, it's safe, it's genuine. And I think Billy saw that there was a lot of excitement and energy there.
But isn't it funny, though, that the church always has a huge wing that is like the Pharisees, that is very staid, and that's very uncomfortable.
Yeah.
With new wine and new wineskins, and they just think, you better cut your hair and straighten up and stop with that rock music.
That's right.
And, of course, you were all loving Jesus.
Yeah.
But Billy Graham was always a little bit ahead of the curve.
Yeah, he was.
I think the reason Billy Graham is famous is because of the way he pronounced things.
Yes.
All he would have to do is use the word. He says the New Testament talks about the word agape.
Yeah.
All you need to do is hear that and you go, I'm in.
Yeah.
I'm in. Right?
Or he would just emphasize certain words. He'd say, I'm here to speak to you tonight on hope. And it's a certain word that, or if he were with you right now, if he were with you, he would have an interesting way to pronounce your name. Well, I'm very happy to meet you, Eric Metaxas.
I know you spent time with
him. And you wrote a book on Luther.
Luther. That's right.
Not Luther. There's no R's. It's ah. Right?
That's right.
It's not water. It's
Luther.
Water. Water. Luther. Hope. And he wrote a book on Bonhoeffer, who I met.
Oh, he was
a wonderful man. I don't think he met Dietrich Bonhoeffer.
I was, of course, trying to goad you into doing an impression of Billy Graham because you do such a great job. You worked with him. You knew him. And that's one of the reasons you are an you're not just a pastor, you're an evangelist because of Billy Graham.
Yeah, he was my early inspiration. You know, after I came to faith, I was doing graphic design and I had little cartoon strips. And my sole aspiration in life was to have a cartoon strip. And if that didn't work, owning a pet shop was my backup plan.
What?
I was 17 years old. I didn't have a lot of aspirations.
Oh, you were 17. Okay.
Anyway, so I come to Christ and I'm growing in my faith. And I sense that God had given me an ability to articulate my faith to non-believers, people who are more cynical and standoffish to religious things like I used to be. So I felt like I could speak to those people. And so I always knew who Billy Graham was because I lived with my grandparents for a time when my mom was gallivanting around the country, marrying and divorcing men. And we would always watch Billy Graham on the old black and white TV. And so I admired him. So when I came to Christ, he was preaching not far from where I lived down in San Diego. So I went to one of his crusades. And the moment I heard him preach and he invited people forward, I walked forward, not to accept Christ, but to get a closer look at this guy. I thought, wow, this is what I want to do when I grow up. Mm. I mean, I really had a sense that I would love to do this, not on the scale of Billy Graham, of course, on a smaller scale, but just proclaim the gospel. And in fact, the Lord was preparing me for that. And then fast forward many years, I had the opportunity to meet him. I became friends with him, and his crusade ministry was sort of coming to an end. Ours was just beginning in the 90s. And so Billy asked me to join his board of directors. And then he also asked me to help him with the sermon preparation. My stupid iPad's dinging. I'll turn it off.
That's okay. I couldn't hear nothing.
Oh.
It was perfectly fine. We're going to go to a break. I'm talking to Greg Laurie. We just have a few minutes left.
Yeah.
It's so much fun to talk to you. I wish we had more time, but perhaps we'll just say that this is enough. We're going to be right back with Greg Laurie. Stick around here. Some Peter Frampton.
I'm Victoria Hearst. My family's company, the Hearst Corporation, publishes a magazine aimed at young women called Cosmopolitan. Nicknamed Cosmo, it contains pornography that hurts kids. I oppose this and have asked the Hearst Corporation Board of Directors many times to label Cosmopolitan adult material so that it cannot be sold to anyone under 18. But the company has refused to do it. So now I have a campaign called Cosmo Hurts Kids. I'm working with legislators, law enforcement, and community groups to have all U.S. states' material harmful to minors laws enforced against Cosmo so that it cannot be sold to your kids. The National Center on Sexual Exploitation says Cosmopolitan magazine contains pornography and is harmful to minors. American Psychological Association studies prove that early exposure to sexualization has significant negative mental health consequences for underage girls. My website is CosmoHurtsKids.com. CosmoHurtsKids.com.
Thinking about life insurance? What if you could make one free phone call and learn your best price from nearly a dozen highly rated price competitive companies? Well, that's exactly what happens when you call SelectQuote Life. For example, George is 40. He was getting sky-high quotes from other companies because he takes meds to control his blood pressure. But when I shopped around, I found him a 10-year, $500,000 policy for under $25 a month. I'm SelectQuote agent Dan Savino. And believe me, if SelectQuote isn't shopping for your life insurance, you're probably paying too much.
For a free quote, call 800-523-3771. That's 800-523-3771. 800-523-3771. Or go to SelectQuote.com. Since 1985, we shop, you save.
Get full details on the example policy at selectquote.com/commercials. Your price could vary depending on your health, issuing company, and other factors. Not available in all states.
You know he likes his phone. Okay, I didn't pick this song, but I give discretion to my engineer, Eric Hansen. We're sitting here with Greg Laurie on the break. We were both just imitating Jackie Mason.
Yes.
And now I want to talk about June 10th, Harvest America.
Yes, sir.
In Texas?
Yes.
Where?
At the AT&T Stadium. And we went there a couple of years ago, and we packed it. It seats 85,000 people. I have to admit, I was shocked. We turned people away. And plus it went out live to host sites around the country where people watched it in churches large and small, theaters, front rooms, and we were able to monitor the response and the numbers. And when it was all said and done, 350,000 people watched the event live. Not people watching on the internet. I mean people in venues watching it, making it the single largest one-day live evangelistic event in American history.
What?
So that, yeah, it's true. And
that's
we did
incredible.
Our research on that, too.
Yeah, so what do you mean not on the level of Billy Graham?
Well,
this is better than the level of Billy Graham. This is fantastic.
Well, it's, you know, we can take technology now, and doing Harvest America is like doing 10 crusades simultaneously, where normally you'd be going all over the country. You can do it. In fact, the slogan of the event is one day, one church, one message. So it is one day, and it's one church. We cross denominational lines, and we have one message, which is the message of the gospel. And if people want to know more about it, just go to harvestamerica.com. But this means wherever you're listening to this show right now, you can have Harvest America come to your church.
On June 10th.
Yeah.
I'm thrilled to hear this. I listen.
You should come. You should come and join us in Texas.
June 10th.
I would love to have you there.
Whatever Johnny Cash would have sung, I will sing.
Yeah.
You know, like one piece at a time.
What is your favorite Johnny Cash song?
And it didn't cost me
song?
A dime. You know what? There are a few. There's so many.
I like the later ones, those American recordings that he did. The Man Comes Around. You know that one?
Yeah.
That's a good one.
Yeah. Oh, Johnny Cash doesn't get better. Yeah. I mean, truly. So you said you might write another book on Johnny Cash.
Yeah. We had such great response from Steve McQueen, American Icon. I wrote a book and we did this movie. And, you know, so it wasn't my desire to do more of these, but people were saying, are you going to do more? We want more. It's going to end up on Netflix, by the way. So it's on DVD coming up, but then ultimately its home will be Netflix. So the next name that just popped up was Johnny Cash, because he's one of those enigmas. He's one of those guys that, you know, many sinners may know he was a Christian, but they may not know it. And so many Christians may not realize, well, what a sinner he actually was. He was a representative of a lot of people today who believe but struggle but have real faith in Christ.
And right.
He had his struggles, but in the end, his commitment was deepened. And no question, he's in heaven now. And I think this guy's an icon, and people need to know his real story.
Well, we will end there. Greg and Kathy, it is always just a particular joy to have you here. Thank you for being my guests. Wonderful. Folks, this is the program. That is the program. MetaxasTalk.com is the website. Thanks for listening.
Star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
with in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.